question you want to start out with today? Yes, Jim?
Well, it seemed like you said, you know, that we should get all the out of shape about this going on in the grass, but she, I know she's safe. I've seen her flight from somewhere. And she's a little stupid. Okay. yeah, from everyone, you know, she... She told me, well, don't make such a big thing out of this, you know, I believe you can't go all sides. Well, she also said about the, I said about the IRS that sort of affects churches. She said, well, what that is, she seemed to know something there. She said, churches that make a profit off of the
She doesn't know what she's, all right. Are you started yet? The question has to do is, as of January 1st, 1984, the IRS says that all churches for the first time in the history of this country will have to start paying half of the Social Security tax and ultimately all such kinds of taxes of all the employees of that church. Now, the term employee is left undefined. Again, historically, clergymen are not employees. They are designated as self-employed, which means they pay the highest Social Security rate. So when I was in Social Security, I paid the self-employment as if I owned my own business, which was the biggest Social Security tax you'd have to pay. Now, with this new ruling, I called the 800 number, which is the IRS information. The guy on the phone told me that clergymen are now going to be viewed as employees. So the church will have to pay one half of his Social Security tax. Every clergyman is supposed to supposedly, but then I went to the Harrisburg IRS branch, and the agent I talked to there said that as far as he was concerned, clergymen were not employees and did not have to pay Social Security tax. Now, about 4 or 5 months ago, I got a letter from the Philadelphia branch of the IRS wanting to know why I didn't pay Social Security tax in 1981. So I think you can begin to see that, number one, the IRS hasn't got its act together on this issue. Evidently, from what I've heard, the higher-ups up in Washington plan on saying that every pastor is under this new law and is to be viewed as an employee of the church, so that it's beginning to filter down and the churches will be paying taxes first under Social Security, and then the loophole is made when it says, and said taxes. That is, other taxes which ultimately will be workers' compensation, etc. The idea being this: the church will be taxed as a corporation, just like Kmart is taxed, or Safeway grocery stores are taxed. The problems with this are many. One, the church is not a business. Two, we are not selling anything. People voluntarily may contribute if they so desire or do not have to contribute anything. I have never heard of a business. There's Bob, who runs a salesman's business. If you had no physical material products, everything was invisible, such as forgiveness of sins, assurance of salvation, how many customers would you get? You wouldn't have a business. You can't have a business in that way. So the woman doesn't know what she's talking about. What's being discussed is this question. Churches, historically, have not been taxed because of the separation between church and state. Our founding fathers recognized that they came from England or Germany or France where there was a state church, a church recognized by the state. They came here to get away from that. How did they get away from it? By establishing The church is not to give any money to the government, and the government is not to give any money to the church. If we were in Germany, your salary would be tithed. Did you know that? To the recognized churches, and on your tax return, there would be a little box. It says religion. Under it would say Catholic and Evangelical. You have to check either Catholic or Evangelical. Your taxes then would be paid to the clergyman. So in Sweden, in Scandinavian countries, etc., the government pays the pastor's salaries, having taken the money out of the pockets of everyone by taxation. Well, our Pilgrim Fathers came here saying, we are not going to pay for the Anglican Church clergy. So they came here to get away from that sort of business either way. So the federal government is not to give money to the churches nor take money from the churches. Supposedly, the reason, the way it works out historically is this. The Roman Catholic Church said that it is the head politically of the nations as well as of the church. So the Pope, when he excommunicated a king, one famous king he excommunicated, he said no subject of this king should henceforth give any loyalty, obedience, taxes, reverence to this king. Well, the king found out that nobody would obey him anymore, and he went and stood in the snow for 3 days outside of Vatican City, waiting for the Pope to forgive him, because the church was thought to be the head over the state. So when the king barked, what were the nations to do? Jump. Now the Reformation saw the breaking away of that, but I'm afraid to say the Reformers were not good, astute political thinkers. All they did simply was replace the Catholic by either the Lutheran or the Reformed. So the Lutheran ran their part of the country, the Reform ran their part of the country, and the Catholic ran their part of the country. What we had in America was a distinctively Baptistic movement, the separation of church and state. The federal government should not give any money nor take any money. The church and the state are separate entities and they should not be entangled. That's the issue. So now the government is saying the church is under our authority and we have the right to tax it if we so please. That's the deeper issue. When you give money into the offering plate, should you have a voice as to how it is spent and where it goes? Well, yeah. Namely, if you don't like what this church is doing with its money, what should you do? You don't give it anymore. You give it someplace else. Is there any law saying you have to give it here? No. So like you, I see when someone's getting spiritually disaffected with the church, what is the first indication that someone's not happy with that church? They stop giving. It's very simple. That's how it works. When you do give your money, do you give it so that some woman can go in on welfare and have a butcher kill that poor baby inside of her? No. That should have nothing to do with religiously giving offerings to God, taking that which belongs to God over here to the government. That's the issue, you see. So we have historical precedent of 200 years of this country when the church and the state and the family were viewed as sovereign spheres. That was the Calvinistic Puritans, you see. Now the government is saying the church is under the state and the family is under the state. And the state is all. Now, where did that teaching come from? Marx, Lenin, and Engels. That's where that stuff comes from. And see, you've got, when you discuss it with people, keep it to the principle. If the state has a right to regulate any ministry of the church, it can therefore, in principle, regulate all ministries of the church. If the state can tax the church here, then it can tax it everywhere. Period. That's the way it goes. Keep it to the principle of why this wasn't done until now and why all of a sudden there's a change. Yes, Dan? Well, if the question is, what happened if the Nebraska case is lost? And one by one, it ends up in all 50 states, there's no longer any religious freedom. Then, at this point, we still have legislative recourse. The Constitution says that the Congress can override the judiciary branch. The way it was originally worked out, you had three basic a triangle. What's the strongest structure? A triangle. So how many parts of this government do we have? The executive, the legislative, and the judiciary. It's a triangle. It's meant to be that way. Now, as long as all three points of the triangle have equal pressure, what do you have? A good, solid structure. The moment one edge of the triangle begins to push the others out, you no longer have a triangle. So the Congress, the Constitution, has laws to checkmate. Each of the others can checkmate the other. The executive, which is the president, and Congress can checkmate the Supreme Court. Historically, they did it. What was the Dred Scott decision? The Dred Scott was the Supreme Court ruled that slaves were the physical properties of their owners and that slaves did not have any rights as citizens in this country. Now, when Congress and the president, the president instigated legislation and Congress approved it and made it a law, they overturned the Supreme Court ruling. So it is possible, if we elect Christians to go to be in Congress, we can get enough Christians in there, coupled with any Christians in the executive, to overpower the judiciary, which is the evil culprit at this time. We are living right now with the judiciary on top and the executive and the legislative on the bottom. The Supreme Court, like the judge in Nebraska, saying he doesn't care what the Constitution of the United States means. He's the law. That is exactly what our Constitution tried to prevent. Yes, Jim?
You brought up an interesting point. A judge can be impeached.
A judge can be impeached. So impeachment proceedings are being brought against this judge in Nebraska. That's one of the things we want to start this next week in Nebraska. So you've got to get it's all three checks and balances. Remember your old high school civil government? It's supposed to be working, but right now it's not working. You have federal judges, Supreme Court judges, which are avowedly anti-Christian, hate God, hate the Bible, hate the Christian church people, and they are using their raw judiciary power to persecute the church, and we'll have to bridle these people. Now, if peradventure it ever ended up that we could no longer vote people into Congress, or the people we voted no longer got in there, or there wasn't a Congress, and there just was an oligarchy. What is an oligarchy? That's a group of men who run the countries, such as the Supreme Court, five or six men, who run it by absolute power. You have a tyrannical government usually when you have one person, Hitler, Adolf Hitler, name me some other tyrants. Castro, Gaddafi, Mussolini. Okay, but an oligarchy is when you have a select group, an elite group, can be 100 people or whatever it is, and they are running the nation. Well, if we end up not having any way to deliver ourselves politically or legally, then it's time for another revolution, and we have to overthrow this government, and then these Supreme Court judges will have to be put up to a wall and shot. This is where they'll have to end up. This is what they're, one of the reasons I'm going to Nebraska. The I was invited by the chairman of this Nebraska business because some of the people are talking about getting their guns now and taking care of this judge now. And he said, well, you've got this book, which he's now read, the manuscript, against pacifism. And he says, your position is so clear, they will all agree with you. But what the problem is that they want to take up their guns now. And I don't believe any Christian should take up their gun now. It's be no excuse to do something like that. When that time comes, it will be abundantly clear that the time has come. And there's an awful lot of stuff that would have to go before something of that horribleness would ever happen to be. As Schaeffer said, the time is not yet. When the time comes, you'll have to take your gun, but you'll have to have tears. No one's a warmonger. I don't want violence. You don't want violence. Any of you women want to lose your husband being shot as he's out there, you know? And who would you shoot here in Perry County? You get your gun, who are you going to shoot? You see, where would you have anger. Who are you going to shoot? You'd have to go down to Washington, maybe pick off a Supreme Court judge. But who else are you going to shoot? So that time has not come yet. Thank God it hasn't come yet. And hope all of you are going to vote. You're going to write your... Use the freedoms and privileges you have now to balance out. That's what we have to do. And that's when I go out there, I'm going to be preaching to these fellas. Don't take up your guns now. You can, if they take it up now, they might blow things for the rest of us. Yes?
If it would ever come down to that many decades, there had to be a miracle of God just like the Old Testament, because you'd be going against billions of dollars in arms by a group of people that's against, let's say, an authoritarian government. Well, that government has billions of dollars that they're disposing against, build up our arsenals. Now, a group opposing that, then would be in Peter Voss.
Well, the question is, what hope would Christians have? Historically, how did the blacks get rid of segregation? Well, one way was they had these marches. But what else happened that made people sit up and take notice? Riots, shooting, Black Panthers. How did they change the position on the Vietnam War? Who changed the political situation on the Vietnam War? A bunch of hippies throwing bombs and banging garbage can lids. The government may have billions of dollars, but if it doesn't have popular support. And Bob brought out something. Pennsylvania has more hunters than any other state in the Union, and more guns are owned in Pennsylvania than any other state. Now that is why that's why the liberals want to get rid of the guns, is because if they do, then they have done away with the possibility of armed revolution. Why aren't the Polish people rioting right now? They don't have any guns. So these commies, what do they want to get away from you? If you don't own a gun in your family, I really feel sorry for you. You should at least have one rifle or something. You have the right to bear arms. That doesn't mean these things. It means some military protection. You may need it.
You say yes. You shouldn't take up arms or anything yet. You shouldn't yet. It's like cancer. If you don't get it, that's when it starts, and it's going to spread fast.
Well, it's like with cancer. You have different kinds of treatment before you get to radical surgery.
This is what I say. Get out there and take care of it out there. We're going to try to get to the head up and try to stop everything right now before it gets carried away, because it's already in California, Hawaii, and Nebraska, and Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to keep on going.
Yeah. Dave?
Yes. It's just an observation. I know Richard Hofstadter and other people pointed out that through historically...
They can't hear you, Dave.
People in the United States have tried to reform different moral issues or sexual issues. Ultimately, just petered out because it didn't have the steam behind it to really actually put in. Even though they got the legislation through afterwards, they didn't have the background to really put the whole thing in force. And like the classic is prohibition, where Christians got together and they saw a thing and they they got the moral legislation, they tried to legislate it all, but they didn't have enough to carry it through. And we have to take action, that's true. And I just hope that people that are so willing to take up arms at the beginning are people who have enough vision to see it all the way through to complete it. Because if you take it up at the beginning and you fail, you're worse off than if you wouldn't have done it in the first place.
But what do you think of
the reformers haven't been able to carry through in America? I don't think there has been a basic issue.
Prohibition done by the Women's Temperance League, many of them were not Christians. There was many liberal clergymen involved in this, just as your liberal Methodists do a book against alcoholism and stuff. Your Reformed people were against it, like Gresham Machen. He spoke out against prohibition. But what you have, that issue is peanuts compared to a constitutional. See, there was nothing in the Constitution said a right to drink as you please. That's why they made an amendment against liquor. And ultimately it was struck out. But when you have a basic constitutional issue, such as the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom of assembly, that is so clear, when someone tampers with that, it touches not just Christians. It touches all Americans. And this is where the base, you're right, the base has to be all Americans, not just a few nuts or something.
Yeah,
or it will peter out.
Tried to put it out in force on,
yes,
on a temporal issue, you start attacking the whole basic structure of American life and try to change all of that.
Yeah.
Somebody better have some vision to be able to carry through an awful lot more than what they perceive right now with, instead of just saying, oh, we got to conquer this problem and you're going to kill this judge in Nebraska.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's foolish.
Yeah, right. Okay, if someone wants a short-term answer, let's go bump off Judge Reagan. That's not going to answer. You may get some guy worse. You know, and bop him off too.
You think the veterans are going to stand still for this? They went over there fought and died for this country for this freedom, and have some Turkey community try to take away from them?
Question has to do: what about all the veterans who fought in the war to make this country free, and then come back here, and their freedoms are taken away from them? Won't they revolt? Yes, they will. If ultimately there's no other recourse,
right.
But no one wants to die. Yes, you're in the Army or Naval.
Coast Guard. Men that are in service right now.
Yeah.
Would they do that? Would they march in and start?
Well, it's one question I figure, too. If the soldiers who, I put this way, there wasn't much enthusiasm for Vietnam, ultimately, even among the military people. They became disillusioned with what they were doing. And that's the power of the press and the media and peer pressure. And I wonder, you see, if the government began to move against churches in Nebraska, some of the deputy sheriffs resigned. One of them said, I resign. He said, I will not go against a Baptist church and padlock its door and hail that pastor off to jail when he didn't do anything except try to teach the kids some little bit of education. And he resigned. The judge who initially was on this case has resigned. He said, I cannot take it. The guy who's a district attorney said, something is wrong here. In America, we're prosecuting churches because they're teaching kids who are receiving a superior education in the name of protecting these children. From what? Churches? So you have people, I think, even in the Army and the police, who would have great problems putting to death, shooting into crowds of preachers who are peacefully protesting. I think you're going to have problems. Barry, then Dan. Yes?
I was taking a class in Memphis. I had an officer who was in the First World War, and he was also in the National Guard after the First World War. And he was in the coal strikes in northern Pennsylvania at the time when they tried to break the back of the strikes, illegal strikes at that time, more than the unions. And his old life didn't. And they told him, many of these people, and he said, people then, they were owned by the coal mines. He said, their officers told him, people cross this line, fire. And he said, we had been up there a couple of weeks, and he knew what we were going to do. If people cross the line, we were going to shoot the officers. He said, we weren't going to kill innocent people for no reason at all.
Shoot in the air or shoot the ground,
yeah,
or something?
Said, we weren't going to kill them. So is, these are Russian troops you're talking about.
Yeah. Could you conceive of the Coast Guard being called in, or military people, to come in and to raid churches and haul people to jail just for having a worship service? Those soldiers themselves believe in religious freedom. You're going to have a major problem. Dan?
There's a little pamphlet that's like one page on each side about the size of a worship bulletin. I think it's called Church Around the World or something like that. And I read it in a while back where they had, they lined up some Afghan freedom fighters and they told these Russian soldiers to shoot them. Six Baptist Russian soldiers refused to shoot them. And so the other Russian soldiers were ordered to shoot the Baptist soldiers. They did. You can just think of that would be the morale of the whole thing. Shoot your own buddy that you would fuck like to be
shot. Yeah, because they said this isn't right. So this is, see, what they've, if the Christians can only get concerned, you have three types of Christians. Ones who are ignorant and they don't have a slightest clue what's going on. I talked with the pastor this last week who said, I haven't heard anything about this. Nothing. He hadn't heard about IRS, Nebraska. Nothing. You've got lots of them around. When you get the literature next week, make sure the clergymen in your area, you know, get one of these things. Secondly, you have those who've only heard this much and they've heard it from the secular humanists who downplay it, and they say, well, it's just an issue about, I talked with another guy this week. I flabbergasted me. He said, well, it's just an issue of making sure these kids have good education. I said, that's not what the issue's about. Ah, sure, it's about a good education. I said, the state admitted these kids were three grades ahead. The issue is whether or not the state can regulate the ministries of a church. That is the historical legal issue that for 200 years has been decided one way and they want to go to the other way. He said, well, I never heard that on the TV. I said, well, you've got those people who only watch TV, who only read Harrisburg Patriot or something, and they don't read the conservative Christian literature, be it the Moral Majority Report or something else. They're not reading. They're not in contact with the real world. They don't know what's going on. It's our job to get them stirred up, you see. And then you've got those who understand what's going on and look far ahead. Was it 4 or 5 years ago I preached the series on a Christian view of the state? When was that? Did anybody remember? It'd be 6 years ago. Christian view of the state. And was I warning about this then? And we got house churches. And I think Proverbs says, a wise person foresees evil and delivers himself ahead of time, but fools pass on and are punished. I'm looking 10 years down the road. I'm looking 5 years down the road. That's why I'm going to Nebraska. Is it the church, by God's grace, we checked, we have enough money. Any of you want to support this trip? Give Doug an extra $5 or something to help. Is it going to be cheaper for us as a church to get involved fighting the battle in Nebraska, or when it comes to us and I'm in jail, fighting it in here? What's going to cost more? Here. We're going to have lawyers. And I look at that. One church spent $50,000. And the judge, 5 days before the trial, gave a summary judgment, declared them guilty. Of course, they weren't present and never gave any defense. And the pastor said, we spent $50,000 in legal fees getting ready for the trial, and he denied us a trial. We don't have $50,000. Well, what happened to this group? We couldn't even give it enough money to buy a piece of land. Yes, Jim.
Is this not Nebraska where they spent $50,000 for this particular case and the judge denied the report?
And ruled them guilty of summary judgment. No. Well, this is the problem. This is all, when you get the literature next Sunday, you'll find it's a very thin line. The judge says out of this side of his mouth, this is a civil issue. not a criminal issue. And in civil issues, like you watch People's Court, who decides whether they're right or wrong? Because it is a small claims, a civil issue. If it is a criminal issue, guess who decides if you're guilty or innocent? A jury. Now, the humanists are smart. We will say the issue with these Christians is civil. So who gets to decide? The judge. At the same time, out of this side of the mouth, he's giving criminal sanctions. That is, it is unheard of in civil matters to throw people in jail without bail, without a lawyer, indefinitely. So he's giving criminal, as if this guy was a criminal, that he's treating them as criminals, but saying it's a civil issue, so he can keep it away from a jury, because he has admitted that if this went to a jury, he would lose. What jury would convict parents of sending their kids to a school where they would be three grades ahead? So in order to keep it away from a jury, they call it civil. But then they do criminal sanctions. This is what they're upset about.
That's the grounds for impeachment.
Right, so they're going to start impeachment proceedings against this judge. Yes, Ann?
Can you recommend, while you're there, a conservative run for president on an independent ticket? Because the thing with President Reagan is not going to move as long as he's the only one for conservatives to vote for. He knows that.
They're going to President Reagan. I assure you, Falwell and the rest. Even in this Newsweek, it gave a warning. It said, it says the awkward controversy on the outskirts of Omaha could yet become an election year in Broglio. I guess it meant problem. With the born-again right, it would be very disastrous if President Reagan continued to ignore the controversy.
Who are they going to vote for? I mean, that's his position.
Yeah. Reverend Jesse Jackson is a
reference. That's his position.
He won on Saturday Night Live. I wish Falwell would run for president. I think he'd make a good president.
At least we get him out of the
right. Any other questions before we dissolve into a mob here?
Huh.